Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 96 for October 1st, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list of the top requests together, and we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. We're broadcasting live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and the recording of this will be on the Timing Research site, as well as the Timing Research YouTube and podcasts. Directories as soon as possible once we're done recording here. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have arranged for Lance Ippolito and Jim Kenny to be here today, and Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Great. Okay. Thanks, David. And what a day, huh? Things that we've been talking about the month of October could be quite volatile. It's certainly starting out that way today, and a lot of things that we're hanging on and starting to improve, like the transports and the Russell Index, rolled over in a big way today. So it's very great to have a show on the day where we're getting this kind of change. And with us today is going to be Lance Ippolito of InTheMoneyTrading.com. And Lance has been around for a long time and very experienced and a lot of knowledge to share with us today. And he's got his charts with us, and he's going to give us insight on a lot of the stocks that we've gotten from the audience. So this is going to be a very great show, I think. And before we get started, Lance, a little background on yourself and a little bit of what you're doing down at the company.
Yeah, so I started as a research analyst, then moved on to the hedge fund industry. We did basically your long-only equity fund, and then we had a commodities fund. So I traded futures for about 3 years full-time for the fund, and then I said, I am bored of wearing nice clothes every day going into an office, so I made a trip to Costa Rica, and basically I never returned. I stayed in Costa Rica, originally planned for about 2 weeks, ended up staying over 2 months, came back and decided, why am I trading for other people? Why don't I trade for myself? So at, how old was I? Maybe like 27 or so. I decided I'll never work a 9-to-5 again. Started trading my own money, started working with companies and in financial education. And that's the story. So right now I mostly trade options using institutional flow in the options market. I'm not too big into charts. I'm really big in the sentiment and what the big players are buying, and I try to piggyback or rationalize why they're buying what they're buying. So I love it. I mostly swing trade. Day trading is a little too chaotic for me nowadays, and just real big on to lifestyle freedom, trading, not being stressed out, you know, worrying about your book, and you know, helping people achieve their financial education goals and to become better traders.
Great. Well, there's a lot to learn, and you're going to bring it to the table here for us today. There's quite a few stocks on the list. We're, in addition to that, going to go into some different ideas that Lance has, and then I'm going to shoot some things at him that I know he has some experience in and see what his opinions are, because I can see some markets in his past that are moving a little bit here, and I'd love to hear his insight. Okay, let's start out with Square, SQ. What are you seeing on Square? It obviously used to be as high as $100 and change, and it's lost quite a bit of value. Is this thing getting thrown out with the bathwater or whatever they call it?
So there's actually... I'm actually a fan of Square here, and I know there was a buyout rumor the other day, and we could toss that out the table. But why I actually like it is you had, if you look at your retail traders or retail investors, they were all buying Square up in here in the 75 to 80 range, right, on this breakout. And then what happened on earnings is they got stopped out. So, you know, Square had about a $10 decline on earnings. So you had some dip buyers, you know, try to, obviously after earnings, you have people saying, oh, the stock's cheap. So they try to dip buy. Well, they got punished too. So if you dip bought it here in the mid 60s or high 60s, you know, a stock trading at 55, most of the time, you're not going to be able to stomach that pain. So I think your max pain is already over, and it's the weak hands are gone, in my opinion. So therefore, we actually do have some upside momentum here. We actually, this is 4 days ago, we had a shift here. This is about a MACD derivative indicator. So we're actually starting to see some buyers come in. And you know, compared to, let's say, a Visa, MasterCard, I'm actually a fan of Square here. So I actually like it. And I think we can at least see a continuation move to 70.
And the short interest is still at 10% on the stock. So if it does turn up, that could get some short interest. You look at moving averages at all on this stuff?
If I pull up a moving average, I'll use the 100 or 200 SMA. Yeah. We could actually pull it up here if you want on the charts. Let's just go ahead and add it, shall we?
You were thinking it might snap back towards 70?
I'm thinking so. 70, we have resistance, and then we have that gap fill from the 100-day moving average, about 67, 75. Just we move up to 70, and then we have that gap fill. In my opinion, I think we could get to 70 pretty easy, and then once we get there, we trade sideways, and then maybe it's an earnings, maybe it's a news. Full momentum continues, obviously look to fill that gap, but I think that's getting a little ahead of ourselves in the short term, 61 to 80. Now that's a move.
are you looking at just the technicals or any of the fundamental type stuff too?
I'm not a huge fundamental person. And this is why. If you told me, hey, Square's going to beat on EPS, revenue, they're going to raise guidance. At the end of the day, how stocks are trading right now, and especially during earnings, stock may only be up 2%. It may even be down a couple percent, even if I knew the numbers. So I'm not a huge fundamental person. I've just seen too many names report good numbers, beat top and bottom and then still go down. I look at more, what is everyone else doing? Was everyone else buying it at 70? Are they buying it at 80? Were they dip buying it? If they bought it, are they gone? Are the weak hands out? And, who wants to buy it here? That's what I look at. Is Square becoming popular on the internet? Is everyone on FinTwit talking about it? Not really. Not right here. They were, back in August, but right now they're not. So therefore, I think there's opportunity to get long, to see some bullish momentum.
Yeah, because it is well more overdone than the PayPals, the Visas, the MasterCards. So exactly. I was wondering if maybe it got out of favor, that it's not going to be what it was going to be. And that, I don't think they're making money yet. So obviously this no earnings type companies, they're not going after them as fast as they used to.
Exactly. And we've seen that recently, especially when you look at the IPO market, that these unicorns, that if they IPO'd a year or 2 years ago, they'd probably be at 52-week highs. But right now, Mr. Market is punishing these, non-profitable, unicorns that are just going public, just to go, right? And we're seeing that happen. And Square, obviously, it's been around a little bit, but, it's still kind of a darling compared to, like you said, a Visa, a MasterCard, a PayPal. But at the same time, it's not near a 52-week high like these other names. It came down. It was, again, $100 stock. And now, it almost got cut in half. If you look at, October to December of last year, and then really 2019, it hasn't done much at all.
Well, this next one is Broadcom, AVGO, and it's a stock that had a 52-week high of 323, and today it went home at around 274. So again, it's kind of, closer to the bottom than the top of it, but it definitely, the momentum doesn't look that great, huh?
No, it's been consolidating here since about June. I think they actually had a decent earnings report, but the number still got sold off. In my opinion, this name, I feel like it's difficult to trade. It's more of an investor stock. And you're also looking at momentum of the overall sector, kind of like a Micron or WDC or AMD. If you do have the sector go, it's going to go with it. If you have, negative sector news, or just, the overall sector starts trending lower, you're going to have Broadcom basically move with it at a high correlation. So, in my opinion, I'm just not a fan of the name. Options are pricey. Yeah. If you sell premium, that's fine, but spreads the spreads are wide, options are pricey. Just, I think there's better names out there, like an ON Semiconductor, Lattice Semiconductor, just other names that I would prefer than Broadcom.
Yeah. And Micron lost 15% of its value pretty quickly.
After multiple upgrades, right. Pre-earnings, the week of, and even after earnings. And that leads us to...
Well, this this next one is basically piggybacking the industry. This is SMH. So they're the people who are in the other ones probably trying to figure out if this thing's rolling over or not. It's still a little inconclusive up here, it looks like. But what's your take on the ETF SMH on the sector?
It's a little interesting, actually, here at this moment, because had Micron, like you said, with about a 15% decline recently, and you've actually had the SMH hold up quite well. And I think what we're seeing is you've had Apple, and we have to talk about Apple, with a couple upgrades recently. It broke out today. Obviously, it faded with the overall market. If you have Apple lead, you should have the chips follow. So the SMH, obviously, too, you know, you're very very China dependent on the news. As you know, these chip makers with the exposure there. But you know, if Apple keeps up its full momentum, I think you actually see semiconductors continue their upward movement, and maybe you see a breakout at that 123.5 to the upside.
Yeah, because on the graph you're showing it, it just looks like it really pulled back to fill in that little gap. And now, if it can break above those highs, you know, if you got a China deal or something, you know, that would. I think that maybe that's why these things are holding such a good bid, because of the fact that the China meeting is on October 10th, and maybe people want to be long going into it.
Exactly, and you know, if there is positive comments after that, you would see a very not only a short squeeze in some of these you know, chip makers, but you'll see definitely the SMH and these names making up that ETF. You'll see them with you. Oof. I think you'll see some of these small chip makers up, you know, 3-4% a day, and you might see that SMH up, you know, 1.5-2%.
Yeah. This next one is another payment processor, but it's kind of the direct opposite looking than Square, because it's obviously the standard as far as payment processing, and that's Visa. And today it was up 1.33% on a red tape. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's very impressive. You know, even going back to the SMH, we'll read down a little over 0.5% or so. That's actually really impressive too on a day where there's some blood on the street. So Visa holding up quite well, hanging out right at the 100-day moving average. You know, yes, it's off the highs, but historically every dip has gotten bought up. You know, if you look at the prior dip there in early August, where you hit the 100-day or literally went to right to the 100-day and bounced back. You know, if Mr. Market holds, I think you have Visa you know, holding and bouncing back up to new highs. And if Mr. Market rolls, you usually see a little Visa MasterCard protection, and just, you know, really they've just been on fire lately, as you know, the economy shifts out of cash and into credit, and they are charging their hefty interest, and you know, the investors keep buying them up. So
yeah, that unemployment report, the ADP tomorrow and on Friday, if that came in soft or whatever, and we took out that level that's just under 170, that would change the landscape significantly, but that hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah. You take out 170, you could flush down to 160 very quick. And then it, you know, then it really starts getting ugly from there. But I mean, what a stock for 2019, Visa, you know, from the 130s to the 175s, you know, to the 187s. That's, yeah, it's hard to argue when you're in a bear market, when you have Visa looking so strong. Right.
Well, when the consumer is spending and the consumer is, you know, out there doing stuff, obviously they're using their Visa card to do it.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay. Well, this next one is the one, and this is a big topic today, because Schwab went to no commissions on anything today, and boy, did they get everybody whacked who is in the low commission business. So this one up is TD Ameritrade, and it's Uncle E-Trade. Both of these guys were put under the water pretty heavy today. So AM. TD off 25% in a day. Thank you very much, Charlie Schwab. And what are we seeing here now?
I think you had a lot of portfolio managers hit their head on the wall today, or on the desk. You know, it's if you look at a lot of conservative funds or just very widely held throughout the industry, right? Your Schwabs, your TD Ameritrades, and historically they've performed quite well. You know, I was actually looking at it going back on a weekly the past 3 years. We're right back to 2017 levels. So that's a big haircut. You know, what are we about 40% so off the highs? It's eef. I got a question a lot today. Do I dip buy Schwab, TD, you know, E-Trade? I'm not touching them. I don't know where they go from here. I think it hurts Robinhood's IPO that is upcoming, because Robinhood, you know, again, what are they, free or near free as a brokerage? So we're seeing a shift. You know, I won't be shocked you start seeing other brokers, you know, go to that free or very discount commission in the near near future.
Yeah, and they weren't kidding around today. This is kind of an example of what I'm expecting in the negative yielding debt market and maybe even some of the junk market if the economy slows and earnings slow. And what I'm talking about is volume coming in very big and nobody's on the other side.
Right.
Today we saw 44, almost 45 million shares, and this thing generally trades 2.5 million on a good day. So 45 million versus 2.5 million. I mean, the Hatfields and the McCoys were getting out today.
Huh? Yeah. margin call Tuesday for TD, yeah, and their clients.
Do you, here's something that I see sometimes. I just want to get your idea on this. Sometimes you get this kind of a volume drop and then you will get a lower volume snap. And maybe the trade is really to get sell positions going on the low volume snapback than it is to try to pick a lows. What do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, when you have some major news like this, I try to go off sentiment, and I kept getting the messages, do I buy it or I bought it, or as soon as it opened down so much, and we can actually go down to the 5 minute and just, you know, it literally got sold off. You know, if you bought it at the open 36.5, here you are $2 lower. I'm not a fan of news. I just feel like it's so news dependent. Like, you can have E-Trade come out tomorrow or next week and say, we're cutting our costs too. And you're open to overall sector risk. So I think you can have, names just continue to sell off. So if you do get that kind of dead cat bounce and you want to be aggressive, I have no problem, selling it, shorting it, buying puts, selling calls, looking at strategies.
Yeah, because the news doesn't seem to be temporary in nature, you know?
Exactly. It's not just a one-day event, you know? It's a...
No. But obviously if 44 or 45 million shares have come out, you know, obviously you're not early if you want to get negative on it. You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's switch gears here because the gold market has been a friend to people up until the last few weeks. And I'm sure there's some people who think that the pullback might be over at some point. So here we have KL, Kirkland Lake. Obviously a great year, $18 to $51. Is this a deal where you buy the dip, or is this the thing where you kind of wait for 50 to get taken out and then jump on the train?
Yeah, this has been out of the miners. KL has just been a star. All year, you know, one of the top performing ones, and historically every dip, because I remember trading this one, would just get bought up. It is interesting though, if you look at some of these miners, you look at gold and the rally today with the market selling off after you're getting, liquidated, was it yesterday that, these gold names took a hit. I'm not one of these, hey, let me buy gold on every dip. It's worked in the past. If you are looking for a gold name, I'd say it's, one of your top ones, if not your top three. It's hard for me to make the case though. If you're long equities looking for hedges, sure, your gold and silver names are great, but the gold names, you just, they haven't been trading well, I feel like, for a directional trader. But if you do want to own one of these miners, KL is like, we said, a star. But yeah, going from double, or almost, we did double this year.
Right.
Obviously it's had a lot of money pour into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you on your time frame in your trading, do you generally stick with the day and swing trading, or do you mix it up, or what do you do?
Mostly I like looking at charts from the daily, sometimes the weekly if I really want to get an overall picture, and then I'll go down to the daily to the 4 hour. 4 hours a little bit quicker, and then usually I'll just drill right into the 30 15 5 and go from there. Like if I'm normally sitting here, I normally just have I have about 16 charts up on 5 minutes, but before I look at any position, I always hold it up on the daily and then drill down from there.
Mm-hmm. Because your feeling is if the daily has a certain momentum vibe to it, and then you're getting a signal in the direction of the vibe, then you feel more confident putting it on.
Exactly. Like right now in KL, if you were to say, hey Lance, do you want to buy it right now? Looking at the daily, I wouldn't have much momentum to buy it. slightly moving lower, slightly bearish trend turning, you know, after a big bull run up, you know, momentum hasn't shifted yet to the bull camp, just judging by the daily chart. And I'm not going to be first to call the low or the top. I'd rather wait for the move to start and then I just hop along rather than, you know, try to be a hero and say, this is the low, I'm going to buy it now and it's going to be at $50 next week.
Yeah, it's more fun to join a party than to start one, I guess.
Exactly.
All right. The next one here is 3M, which Ooh. Is obviously a classic company of all times here. And it's been on the defensive, though. And that's... and it gapped down big time earlier this year from 220 down to 200 and then been really on the negative. And today, of course, it gave it up pretty hard, almost 4% lower for the day. So what are we seeing here? Is there a low in our future? Will that low hold around 155 or what do you think?
I thought they had insider buying a couple months ago. I'm looking it up right now to see. And actually, yeah, it's very minimal back in May. Yeah. Yeah, 176. This was back in May. He actually had some insider buying, really small, but it hasn't worked. I just think Triple M is too large of a company that even insider buying is not going to move it. In my opinion, if it looks like junk, smells like junk, it probably is. To keep it PG. The bears are in control. Had a classic breakdown today. You know, obviously the overall market in the sector took a hit. I look for 154 to take out if it starts holding, build to base, then I would, you know, possibly look at longs. But right now there's nothing making me want to own it right here. You know, if I'm short, I stick with it. If I'm long, I'm terrified.
This is a classic one of catching a falling knife. And if the falling knife stops here and then you got back above 170 or something, and then of course that would change the song quite a bit.
Right. And until that song changes, I'm not looking, you know, even if you look back at the previous quarter, how we had that about a $8 gap up and then got sold, that big reversal candle here, that's not pretty. And then you just had just pure selling right after. You know, it once was a quote unquote a safe, steady stock. But after that drop from 219 to 200, then 190, it has just been bears in control ever since. So a lot of longs are probably not loving it. And that pain's continuing.
All right. Before we go any further, Lance, it's halftime. So at halftime is a good time for you to break out the good stuff on the things that you're looking at that you think has some potential right now.
Oh, joy. I'm excited and pumped because let's first go for the home run and then we'll actually then break it down from there. So I've been looking at this AXTA, AXTA. It is a Buffett name, but there's been some rumors of a buyout, and I'm a sucker for some of these buyout rumors. To me, I just I've caught a few over the past really year and a half, 2 years, and we've seen. We'll actually pull up, let's say, a 4-day report. We've seen just aggressive call buying nonstop. October 33s today. They're buying October. Are they buying October 30s today? And about 9,000 in size. Some November 31 calls. So the chart's bullish. Obviously, it's pulled back from the high. I just think if there is, you know, buyout or some more rumors, so to speak, you could see 33. Options aren't that expensive either, so your potential to hit a double or a triple or so is there if possible. But just one I've had on my radar really for the past few days. And then a couple other names I was looking at was
I just wanted to throw in one thing on the one ahead. You're just showing, AXTA, is that it's in a very good sector, building materials and products. People probably don't know that. You know, because right. They don't follow the stock. But, you know, the Home Depots of the world has certainly been good. And look at those home building stocks. So, you know, this is not a bad sector to be sniffing around.
Exactly. And if you look, look at Toll Brothers or some of these, obviously Lanier sure. Reports, I think they're tomorrow morning. The home builders have just been on fire. You know, KBH, great numbers, 52-week high. So, you know, you have that AXTA right there. I think actually today, MAS actually had some big flow. I think it got mentioned on the TV. But that sector doing quite well. You know, even TPH, another home builder, and Beazer Homes. I mean, Beazer Homes is from 9 to 15, just on fire. So I like that as well. You know, even if there is, let's say, no buyout or something like that, you know, the stock can still continue trending bullishly. And then the other name is, and I've had this name as a swing long now for a couple weeks, is Callaway Golf. And I know probably it doesn't get mentioned a lot, but not only have you had some of these retailers, you know, bounce off the lows, or a lot of these junk stocks that people say with the high short interest, you know, they've had a nice bounce to the upside recently. But this name, Callaway Golf, very aggressive call buying for the past few weeks. Chart looks, in my opinion, fantastic. You know, good quarter on earnings. And I think if it just takes out 20 to the upside, it runs to 22 in a short amount of time out there. Again, not a name that most people trade or talk about, but, you know, kind of a little darling that could see some upside. You know, we've had some pretty large November 21 calls, some put selling in February. You got to love that. Actually, they bought some nice October calls too. November. And they're actually buying some decent deltas in the calls when the stock was, you know, right around 1980 or so. So, and then some February calls as well, which more long dated out there. So I'm not a golf player, but
yeah.
I know how popular the sport is.
Yeah. No, there's a couple of other things I'd throw into your analysis is the short interest is 13% approximately, which means there's lots of people to cover their shorts. And the 50-day has crossed over the 200-day, which if you're a believer in the golden crosses, that's not a negative in this analysis. And of course, this relatively high short interest is not either, you know, because those people are always candidates to cover.
Exactly. You know, it's not like today, it was down to about 2.5%. That's not rare for a stock like this. You know, if it moves 2 to 3% a day, that's common. But like you said, with that high short interest, you can have that 7, 8, 9, 10% move in a day or so, where those shorts do have to cover and they get squeezed out.
Anything else on the docket?
Let's pull up one more. And let's pull up ON on Semiconductor. You know, we had some questions previously on Broadcom and the SMH ETF. ON, another name that doesn't get a lot of attention. I've following this name, been in this name in and out for really a couple years now. Again, aggressive call buying later in time. So, you know, January, February. So they've been buying some time as the name, you know, to be fair, it has gotten chopped up back and forth with the overall market and sector. But what I like about this name was I would always compare it to Cypress Semiconductor, CY. And this name, you know, it did get a buyout. You know, it was trading around $16 a share or so, and then gapped up over the weekend. There was actually some buyout rumors, went up to about 17, 18, and then 22. So when you have similar names, you know, with that interest, obviously you still have the potential. But I just think if chips go to the upside on Semiconductor, you know, could see a move back up to 22 and then or 20 and then 22 in a short amount of time. Another name that, you know, doesn't get a lot of love, a lot of coverage. I would probably assume, let me actually pull it up here, a decent short interest. Finvis says about
6%. Yeah, I got it at about 6%.
Yeah. So, you know, these names have potential to squeeze. And again, another name where it's, you know, it's common, this name moves up to 2 to 3% up or down per day. So again, you have some volatility there.
Okay. On the commodity sector that you used to have some familiarity with, have you looked at anything in the grain area? Because they had started to turn on Monday, and they followed through pretty good today with soybeans up at 919 or something like that.
Yeah.
Are you following that? Because, you know, they seem to be having some bid right now.
Yeah, the beans have had quite the breakout. You know, I don't trade futures anymore like I used to. I still follow them, but I don't actively, you know, trade them day in and day out anymore. But yeah, the beans have just had a major breakout. They've actually have held up quite well too. And when they move, you know, they move up on volume, right? I mean, if you look at the past 2 days, actually we pull up volume a little bit better here. You know, we're consolidating on light volume. You have a high volume volume breakout. You know, these, what I like about this is too, not only do they move, but they usually trend well. You know, unlike, let's say, a NASDAQ future or a crude oil, where they're more of like sprinters, where they're just, you know, very volatile. You know, some days they're up, some days they're down. Usually the beans, they're like marathoners. Mm-hmm. So once they start trending, they usually continue. And it's, as a trader, a trend following trader, you know, you have to love that.
Yeah, I just caught my eye that, you know, it had kind of started to get some real good legs. And then today it had some more legs. And they got that meeting October 10th. I don't know if they're going to wrap up soybean right. buy into that. And certainly for a reelection purpose, that would be helpful to Trump.
Exactly.
And all right, well, let's jump back to the list here. And the next one up, and this is a good place to take in a break, because this next sector is the energy sector. Oof. And, you know, we had a big run up and then a big pullback. And now we're hanging around these moving averages around 54, 56 on crude. And today, you know, some of these stocks pulled back. But, you know, Chevron, CVX, with a 4% or better dividend, some people have an interest in this. What do you think?
Draw the line right at 115 and use that as your support. See if it holds. If it doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, look for consolidation around 110 again. But, you know, historically, it's had some nice bounces right off 115. You know, this one took a little bit of pain moving lower. You know, energy's tough. They're, you know, short and long. Obviously, when we had that big squeeze, what was it, about 2 weeks back on the Saudi news?
Yep.
You know, we've retraced that and more to the downside. So the energy name, what I think has happened is you had people get caught off guard on that day where crude oil shot up and the energy stock shot up. And then you had buyers that day and the day after. And now those buyers have just gotten completely hammered. So they closed out their positions, or they were forced to close out those longs. So right now, it starts getting interesting again, especially when you have a name like Chevron down to an over 2% today. You know, buyers don't want to step in. But if you do start seeing it hold, then I think you might actually, not to be the first one to the party, but you'll be buying when sentiment is so negative that you could be a little early. You know, again, if you do love it, especially like you said, with high dividend, obviously crude oil has to hold up, overall market has to hold up for a name like Chevron, but you know, a $10 haircut from the highs in a few days, that's going to shake a lot of people out.
Yeah, and it looks, you know, those high points seem to be pretty stable at that area. So if you take out these low points, and if crude broke 53 or 51 or something like that, then I think this stock could get in a lot of trouble, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, might not be a bad thing to hedge going into all that, huh?
Right. You know, and when you do play these energy names, you know, it's not, hey, this is a good stock, or hey, I like this company. You're playing the commodity, so you have that correlation there. So it really comes to the point of, you know, do I think you know, crude oil and the energy sector bounces? Do I think they go lower? You know, that's what you're looking at. And then obviously from there you can go, hey, do I want my large cap energy? Do I want my small cap energy with a high short interest that possibly move up 10% a day, like a rig? Or do I want to go something lower beta, you know, less volatility, a name like XOM or Chevron, pardon me, you know, where I don't have to be open to that risk.
Right. This next one is one of the indices that has kind of kept me from getting very bullish, because between this and the transport, IWM has not been able to clear 1600 or 160 on the IWM. And if it takes out the 145, I think, you know, that wouldn't be a very good sign. So do you think this thing is ever going to get above this 160 in any kind of a short term, or what do you think?
When you look at the IWM, I always first look at IWC. So microcaps as the leader. IWC is a microcap ETF. I always look at this first, and then I look at IWM. And if you look at IWC, it does not look any better than IWM, right? So then when I look at the Russell, you know, you have to ask yourself, what is the Russell, you know, what sectors is the Russell made up of? You know, what are the top sectors that make up the Russell? And then you have, you know, energy, and you have financials, right? Mm. And you have energy stocks, you know, obviously not getting much love, but you have financials. You know, they don't look pretty. You know, even a name like Citigroup that actually held up well. No thank you. Or Wells Fargo with the CEO news, you know, there it goes, retracing that whole gap. And then, you know, your Russell too, I should make a part of me, you have a lot of your smaller financials, you know, your regional banks and names like that. So you can look at KRE and, you know, not attractive, especially when you have a breakdown like today. I know in mid-December, you had financials catch a lift and therefore, you know, you had the Russell have a nice move to the upside. You know, the Russell's been a pain in the behind all year. And, you know, is this a viable dip or will it continue moving lower? You know, I don't know. You've had that Russell flirt with the 100 day back and forth, you know, breaking it to the upside. Now it's moving, you know, failing it and now moving to the downside. The Russell's rough. And I just like looking at it more of as a gauge of the overall market. So like you said, it's hard to be bullish on equities when you have the Russell acting so poorly.
You were saying that a lot of it has to do with energy and that's on the defensive and then the financials. You know, this news coming out of Schwab is not going to be great news for these wealth managers like Wells and Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, because these guys definitely charge fees. And, you know, if word gets out that you can go to a company that has 3 trillion assets and they're not charging any fees, that might be attractive to people.
Exactly. And you make up a good point with the wealth management. More and more folks out there, they want to participate and manage their own money, or they want to have some skin in the game. And that's why you've had the rise of these free, or I should say discount brokers like a Robinhood, because any Joe or Sally out there can go on their phone, buy shares of Snapchat or Apple or Facebook, and basically be in control of their own money. So why are they going to go and pay wealth manager XYZ taking a fee to manage their money, and then, you know, let alone pay for let me buy this stock or this ETF, when why are you charging me? I can do it free and I can do it myself.
And it's a double whack, because they get charged the fee by the advisor, and then the advisor buys an ETF or mutual fund that has fees, and so they're paying the mutual fund ETF and they're paying the advisor. And some people may get a pencil out and say, I don't like that math anymore.
Exactly. The game is changing, and that's why we're seeing you know, these online brokers go to free, or, you know, basically free, and the whole you know, wealth managers, I think that business is actually going on the decline as well. You know, people want to be in control. I don't blame them.
Well, this next one has been doing well because of all the saber rattling, Lockheed Martin, and it was down today, so maybe there was a olive branch handed to somebody. But it had a big year so far. In the last 52 weeks, it had been as low as 241, went up to about 400, and set 384 today. What are we thinking about good old Lockheed Martin?
You know, I had one of my research guys, he actually had to do a paper for the University of Tampa on, I think he did Lockheed, and then he did Boeing as well. And I mean, if you look, I'm not a big fundamental person, as we spoke about, but if you look at the fundamentals of Lockheed Martin, I mean, they're very solid. And you've had 2019 to reflect it. It's hard to bet against a name that is just slow and steady continuing to rise. But then you also bring up the question, do I want to buy something, you know, that's up so much already? I think that depends on the individual's overall risk. But yeah, I mean, you've had literally 4 cents from 400. Now you've had, again, a dip today of nearly $6. How do you go against that and say, yeah, we're not going to break 400 to the upside and continue moving?
Yeah, you get the 50-day at 371 and the 200-day at around 330. So if it did dip back down, there's a couple of moving averages to help. And the budget that he's talking of, $700 billion, you know, that's a hard thing to run away from, because that $700 billion, you'd figure Lockheed's going to get a bite out of it.
Exactly. You know, it's like you say, if you want to be real conservative, not look at it every day, you could go, you know, put your order in down at those moving averages, or like 366, 100-day, and just have it sitting being there, you know, and where you don't have to put the emotion involved. You know, you have your limit order sitting. So if you get tagged, hey, you get tagged, you own it. But if not, you know, is it a one day dip? Maybe. Will it continue moving lower? You know, you do have some overall market, you know, like, for example, I think if you have, you know, the Dow fall another 300-400 points or so, you know, obviously, you'll probably see Lockheed or the S&P, you know, have some more red days. Yeah, you'll see a decline to the downside as well.
Well, here, this next one is a sector that people have been hiding out in, as far as they're hiding out in the utilities, and they've been hiding out in REITs. And this is a REIT, although this is a retail REIT. You know, it's hanging in there with a decent dividend. But what are you thinking of Regency Center Corp retail REITs?
I'm actually going to read a little bit more of it here. Is they are out of Shops of Arizona. Shopping. Wow. You know, if you would have told me this at the beginning of the year, I never thought you'd see such a big move to the upside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're based out of Jacksonville, not far from me. But yeah, this sector and utilities, they have just been chugging all along. They're not sexy. They're not attractive to the television folks out there. But oof. I mean, that's what you call a trend, bullish move, breakout to the upside after this trend line breakout here, you know, continuing, pulls back, more bullish momentum. Oof. I mean, technically, I love it. And I don't even like buying stocks near the highs. But, you know, again, down a quarter today when the tape was this red. And then if you look at XL or not XLU, sorry, it is a REIT. But, you know, if you look at XLU, you know, you have these names that are paying, you know, very high dividends. They've just been on fire. Until something changes, hard to ignore and hard to bet against something like this here in Ridge.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to take out 3,000 and start going after the highs, this probably would be a casualty of that move. But now that's not what's happening, and that's why the money flow is going back into this one.
Exactly.
Let's go to another defensive contractor. I think it's probably going to be the same game as Lockheed, pretty much.
Yeah.
Although it did roll over a little bit, Raytheon. And of course, this is a monster in the defense industry as well.
Yeah. You know, it actually had a breakout over about 192 recently in the start of September. Had a breakout, you know, it was pulled back, probably had some people chase it and just holding a little bit of pain. You know, like we said with Lockheed, the market falls, name's probably going to pull back 180, 183, consolidate like it was, you know, really for the past few months of the year. I mean, really back since March. You know, is it a name that's probably going to go up another 10, 15% from here? It would probably take some work in the overall market, but a very strong name. To me, it just looks like it wants to get back to about 183, 185 or so and consolidate.
It kind of reminds me of aerospace, where you got Boeing and Airbus, and then on the defense side, you know, Lockheed, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, you know, those are the three big horses, I think. And, you know, with that kind of a budget staring at them, you know, there's got to be a couple of profits in there. This next one is a technology company, a software company, and it's a Checkpoint, and it's had a good size drop, but it's trying to hang on to this 105 area. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, Checkpoint's interesting, because it's so far off the highs. I think they do internet security, I believe it is, in that space.
Sounds like Checkpoint sounds like something with security.
When I look at this space, I always think of FireEye, because I know a lot of people like playing FireEye, high short interest. You know, there's been buyout rumors, and obviously the stock is not held any bullish momentum. It just continues to decline. Checkpoint, I don't get the space, the whole internet security. And I feel like every time there's obviously a hack or something, obviously they catch a bid. Just right now, they're not getting a lot of love. So I don't think you go in and say, I'm going to buy it here. You know, as it's back to where it started here in 2019, maybe you look just from a emotional point of view, $100, and then you go from there. But bearish momentum, 100 days moving lower, just not attractive in my opinion here.
The indicator at the bottom of the screen here, you're like half of it is the chart and the other half at the bottom. Could you just explain that real quick?
Yeah, so this is taking a MACD. So we're, you know, obviously MACD is free on any chart. What it's doing is it's taking taking basically a derivative of the MACD. And what I set it up as just a little a faster acting. You know, to me, a MACD is more of a reactive indicator. I wanted something that was just more proactive. So it's taking the MACD indicator for the bottom. And in my opinion, if the stock starts moving lower, it picks it up at a quicker amount of time. And then for these up and down arrows here, it's just taking a trend study that you actually don't see on the chart. And you're taking a standard deviation. And then it's giving buy and sell signals or buy and sell really trend levels as well. So like if I see like a down arrow with the, I call it a ribbon indicator, a rate of change indicator, starting to move bearish, then that's a bearish trend. If I see price moving to the upside here with an up arrow and yellow candles, it's a bullish trend. When we do have price like here, we're in the middle of this ribbon, it's basically neutral. So when I see, you know, neutral charts, I try to avoid, you know, because we are still, you know, technically moving sideways out there. Just something that I developed and personally, I try to wait for something clear just to build a little bit more confidence in my trading. So like here, in my opinion, checkpoint, we're neutral to bearish. You know, if we continue to move lower, start getting these dots below, moving below this ribbon, then I think we just continue moving to the downside in price.
Sure. All right. The next two we've got here, one is Zscaler.
Oof.
And that is an internet online company, $6 billion market cap. And then you like things that are half price that are coming against the former highs of 2018. 2018 had some highs around 40 to 43. So that could be a line in the sand. But at this kind of pace, who knows?
Yeah, I believe it's a relatively new name, correct? Like a relatively new IPO? Yeah.
It looks like it started last year, first quarter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. This was a darling. I remember trading this one. Feels such a long time ago, earlier in the year. I remember that one report they did where the stock shot up about 10 bucks, 50 to 60. And talk about discounts, right? From that high where everyone thought it was going to break 100 to the upside to, we're at 47 now. If you love dip buying and you were patient, I actually feel like right in here, as the, you know, we've had some volume build, before we had that massive breakout, you know, this is right around 45 is where it started. You're actually having momentum shift to the upside, which is nice to see after, you know, very bearish trend here. We're having demand build up. We're holding the prior low, held up quite well with the red tape, only down about a quarter. If you're aggressive, I have no problem with it. Look for a move over this prior highs, about 53.5 to possibly 60 for a gap fill. Maybe an earnings or some catalyst, drives it up. But I don't mind it. At all here. It pulled back to where it built the base, and you really can't ask for more than that,
Well, this last one here is a similar chart pattern because it's another off the cliff. Once Apple got involved in their business, it was everyone hit the exits all at once, and the volume was huge when it came down, but it is stalling at this 100 area, and some people thought there's value at 100. What do you think?
Yes, very similar. We pulled back and see where we built prior to the prior breakout, right? This name Roku hurt a lot of people. I speak to a lot of traders during the day, and I get a lot of questions. And this one really hurt to the downside, because if you recall, after their previous earnings, the stock originally during earnings was not up that much. It was only up about 7 to 10 bucks, and then the market opened, and it just, or actually after or, before the open, and then the market opened, it just went on a tear for days to the upside. So a lot of people were chasing it. I remember personally in the 150s, around 150, 155. And then when it did start to pull back, people were, again, dip buying around the 150s and such. So if you've have been patient or looking to add or wanting to get in a Roku, it's 50 bucks off where most people got in. From a fundamental perspective, I don't follow the company that much. Obviously, it was a new kid on the block, for what they're doing with the streaming. And obviously, you've had had a cable on the decline. But, you know, green today, it was actually trading, I think, around 104 a little bit earlier. I don't hate it here. I obviously, you know, earnings and other catalysts have will be affected in the future. And it's, you know, obviously had very positive reactions to earnings. But, you know, maybe if you're an options trader, you can look to sell full but credit spreads if that IV is too high for you to limit your risk. And maybe, you know, possibly looking at some call spreads if you want to get aggressive. But yeah, I mean, another relatively new IPO darling that took a steep haircut in a short amount of time.
Right. All right. Well, we're at the end of the show here now. And what we're going to do now is, Lance, just do a quick reintroduction of yourself for people who came in late. And also, if you have a special offer or something, this would be a great time to extend it. And then, of course, make sure people know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. So I trade, swing trade, a little bit of day trading, mostly in the options market. And what I use and what you're probably having questions on, as I would be, is, Lance, what is that scanner you're looking at to your left? So this is actually a real-time institutional order flow scanner that I follow every day, and I have it filtered for the names that I personally like and have experience with. So what I do is I have a private Twitter feed where I basically call out the largest orders of the day in the options market. So you can go to Twitter, and this is my free Twitter feed here, under Lance Ippolito, LanceIppolito. And you'll see I have my premium Twitter feed as well, premium service, where if you want to join, it's only $49 a month. So I do live text message trade alerts, and then I post the trades in the top low of the day on Twitter in real time. So there you go. You can see about our service. And it's me. I have a couple research analysts out there. But we're very active in the markets. You know, I usually post about 30 to 40 trades, actionable trade ideas per day. And then I filter it down to, I would probably say I put on, depending on the market, about 3 to 5 trades a day with live text message trade alerts for US and international subscribers out there.
Okay, perfect. So people know how to get a hold of you. And again, it's inthemoneytrading.com. And my name is Jim Kinney. If you have any questions on what I'm looking at, what I'm focused on right now, just shoot an email to optionprofessor@gmail.com. I'll be more than happy to get back with you. Right now, I'm going to flip it back to David, and thank you very much, Lance, for being with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, lots of great info today. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network, and you'll be able to find the recording for this show and any of the past shows on timingresearch.com. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Lance Ippolito of inthemoneytrading.com and Jim Kinney of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.